some of them. You're wasting all your time and money on models. Paint what you have.
Hello, and welcome to Model Club TV, episode 93. As always, Scott Johansson is my co-host. I can't keep it up. How are you, everybody?
I am so glad to be here.
Model Club TV, episode 93. Scott Johansson, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for asking.
That's great to hear. I'm Jason Walker, in case people care. What's new, Scott? You had an adventure this morning. Care to talk about it or not?
I went for my annual Mr. I. And
it's annual. Is you just have to do this once a year, right?
I hope pretty soon, not even once a year. But, you know, on the other hand, it's a double-edged sword.
People that are confused, tell them what's going on.
Well, so I have to go every year for my annual MRI, or as I like to call it, my Mr. I. And today was the day, and they shoved my fat ass in this machine.
Okay. So I have a question, and don't get mad at me. How much space is there between the top of the MRI tube and your stomach?
I don't know, because I can't look down.
Oh, that's right. But when you first get in there, you can.
I know it makes a pop sound when it goes in. Like it. No, it doesn't.
Like a giant suction cup, like you're getting pulled out of a tunnel.
I don't know. I know that. So I would say.
For the record, I like that we can joke about you having cancer at one point.
I'm glad you're happy. That's all right. Your mom don't think it's funny. As long as I keep pumping the IV, she's good. So anyway, I'd say like between my head and the top of the machine, I always think it's right here, but it's probably a good foot.
Yeah.
You know, from my head. So you know,
so a good 6 inches from
the you're like this. Okay.
Yeah. And
you know, so
I had one recent. Oh, you went blurry already.
Oh my
Everybody God. Keep sending in that cash for Scott's camera. There we go. Wait. There we go.
Okay. So it's what I like about it is they put me in far enough that I can put my head up and I can see outside of it. Okay. So that's important. If that end wasn't closed, I don't think I could do it. Okay. I don't know.
I had to go in for my knee. Back in spring, I had to get an MRI. I was so relaxed in that thing. I was falling asleep. I had to keep myself from falling asleep so that I didn't like move.
So how long were you in there for a knee MRI? I'm just curious.
40 minutes?
Maybe? Really? So it's still that long.
Yeah.
I wasn't still put your whole body in, huh?
Yeah. I was all the way in. Let me ask you, anyone else who had an MRI, I got to know, did this happen to you? Did it feel at any point like somebody touched you? Now, I'm dead serious. Like, it felt like someone tugged on me.
Well, you know what could have happened? What does happen, maybe because I'm a little bigger, I notice it more. But there are times when the bed moves just a little bit.
Okay? Really? Okay. I
wonder if that bed didn't move, you didn't realize the bed was moving.
Maybe that, but it felt like someone touched me. It was so bizarre. And then I even Googled it to see if anyone else had this happen. Anyway, we're way off topic. I'm glad you're going. Everything's going to be good. Everyone's still rooting for Scott.
So everyone knows I won't have results. I'll have results by the next show.
Okay.
I should, because I see the doctor on the 8th.
Yeah, you should.
Now, I'll get the report tomorrow. Okay.
Are you one of those people? That's the worst thing about technology these days.
No, I don't read the report because I made that mistake one time.
Yeah.
And I started looking shit up and the next thing you know, I was dead.
Yeah.
So it's like.
It's for people who have not recently. And it's our crowd. So a lot of people probably don't go to the doctor very often. So the scare, like you now can get results before the doctor tells you. And you're like, what the hell is that? And then you don't find out for 2 weeks that you're fine. It's the worst. I hate it. It's the coldest, worst way to find out stuff.
And that's why I don't do it. Yeah. I don't read. Now, I'll read blood test results.
Yeah.
And stuff like that when I get them. But as far as this.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
No.
I get you. All right. Our guest this episode, a returning guest. We talked him back into it. Scott, who is it?
The Model Club Court, we're going to call it, with Judge George Stevenson.
Yes. The Honorable, the retired Honorable George Stevenson.
I think this is his third time on, I think.
If we count, did he come on for WandaFest? No,
WandaFest, it's probably his fourth time. I think he's been on twice before.
It's though. Either twice or three. No, I think he's only been on once. I'll have to check. Really? I think he was on for WandaFest and then, I don't know. Anyway, how is everybody? What's new, Scott? See any movies? Anything cool?
No.
No? Okay, great.
Sorry. You bore me. I'm still watching that Monsieur Spade, which is like a sequel to the Maltese Falcon.
Uh-huh.
That happened to Sam Spade afterwards. So I watched another episode of that. I really like that. The guy they got playing him actually does look like Humphrey Bogart.
Wait, is this a new thing? What is this?
Yeah, it's on AMC. So
I didn't know anything about this.
It's like a 6-episode thing.
There's a sequel to the Maltese Falcon?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, it's not about the Maltese Falcon, but it's about what happened to Sam Spade.
Okay.
You know, into the 50s and early 60s. So.
I should probably watch the Maltese Falcon before watching this.
What did you say?
Our voicemail.
Our voicemail is, what movie should Jason watch?
Our voicemail is 708-816-4299, 708-816-4299. And the email is very simply modelclubtv@gmail.com. We have a Discord. Head on over there. You can join up anytime. Go live. It does not have to be Saturday night to do any sort of video chatting on your own. Post things over there. I am terrible at being there because it's a Saturday.
Hey, go during the week because Bill Wilson's not out. Okay.
You know what? I'm going to add Maltese Falcon to the model in a movie suggestion list. I bet Brian's okay. Seen it, though. And then we'll put it on the random. We're going to do a random. So I'll put that on there. Put that on. So anyway, we only have one voicemail this episode, and it is a mean one. My feelings were slightly hurt. Anything else, Scott, before we dive into news and reviews? Oh, we have a giveaway. Want to do our giveaway?
Let's do our giveaway.
Let's do our giveaway. From Nostalgic Resin Productions, we have the Pack O nameplates. And we went through them last time, and I don't want to go through them all again today. But for all your really cool nameplate needs and fantastic model kits he's got coming out, there we go. Nostalgic Resin Productions. That's check them out.
Awesome. Your fingers over there.
I know. I'm trying to like pinch it. So there we go. Does that work?
Yeah, if you hold it still, Jesus.
All right. We got Frankenstein. I'm going to go through them real quick. Frankenstein. Invisible Man Returns. Dracula. Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman. We got Bride of Frankenstein. This is my favorite one. Bride of Frankenstein. Kind of hard to see. Phantom of the Opera. And Dracula, Prince of Darkness. All right. So let's pull our... time for our wheel of giveaways. Going to head on over. Scott, tell me when to stop shuffling.
Now.
And spinning. And the winner is... Dun, dun, dun. I hope Dave's okay with us using his face. And the winner is... a liner? Nope. Mike McDonald, 716. Woo, that was close. Mike McDonald, 716. Send me an email at... email. modelclubtv@gmail.com. James Downing. Almost won by a hair, So Mike McDonald, well done, sir. You got it. Nameplates are yours. All right. Back to the show. All right. News and reviews. Make your noise, Scott. Oh, You learned. You did it without me saying.
Okay.
All right. First
up. We're going to start out here. There was a little controversy last episode, but Model Club TV has been officially authorized now by the IIRA to show image.
I didn't hear about this controversy. What happened?
Of the mysterious crates that are at the center of this Pestilence Labs IIRA mystery that's going on here. So these are this is a photo from the 1889 excursion there. Okay. And I would watch Pestilence Labs for some more clues as to what this all is. So, and that should get going.
So hold on, I have to research something real quick. For the record, I have no idea what this is. No one has told me, so I'm in the mystery as much as everyone else. But I just had an idea.
Oh, I don't. This. I just get things leaked to me.
I can't find what year it takes place. So, all right. Well, that's cool. I was trying to do some research on the fly. I'll have to do a little more. And it's Antarctica. I don't
hear people guesses.
People have been guessing. I heard someone say Creepshow, Fluffy, but I don't think that's it.
All right. Well, we'll have to see.
Is this an elder? Elder thing? This? No, I don't know. All right. Moving on. Scott, where are
we? Moving on. The Flash Gordons are now shipping. And I should have mine by the next episode.
Excellent.
Buster Crab. Now, this, I have a feeling. Okay. Going to be one of those pieces that when it's painted, you're really going to see it.
I think so too.
All right. But I love it. Again, no one's ever done it. We've touched on this before. And I know they're being cast right now and started to ship. And this is, I think, is this the first IMCO release?
I think so.
Yeah. So if it's not Mike and Mark, I'm sorry. But,
well, let's send Scott hate mail now like I used to get.
No, and I've always said, you know, no one's really Screamin' did a Buster Crab, Flash Gordon, and that was it. Never really seen many hits of it. And I don't know, did you ever watch any of them or no?
I've seen it, yes.
They're really hokey. The ship sparkler going landing, you know. So
that's a great piece. I think it's doing really well for them, so that's good.
So the next group of kits, I'm going to give you the info on it. So there's four busts capturing the four main characters at the end of the movie, standoff kind. They're all approximately 1/12 scale, measure about 4.5 inches to 4.75 inches tall. They may be offered in larger scales in the future, but he wants to debut the 1/12 scale bust at Wonderfest. The bases will all be standard cast, and the bodies of the busts will all be 3D printed. Characters. And we'll go through them.
I started to already. I'll go back. All right.
Okay. Characters, we'll go through them. I'm a little backwards here. So that is the Tiger Tank Commander, played by Carl Otto Alberti, who was probably not in another movie ever.
Okay.
And I will say, this is the piece that got Mr. Worthling's what I'm going to call his 3D cherry, because we were helping him quite a bit with this.
Cool.
Okay. Now the next one we're going to have is Clint Eastwood as Kelly. Okay. This is a really nice likeness.
Yeah, that is.
And okay. Really cool.
Painting that netting's going to be fun on the helmet.
Not my problem. And the next piece, this will be my favorite piece that I will probably get. This is Donald Sutherland as Oddball. And Oddball was like, oh, you and your negative wave. Let me tell you never saw this movie yet.
Nope.
Okay. Don Rickles was in it. Obviously Clint Eastwood, Sutherland, and then the last guy is Big Joe, was played by Telly Savalas. And again, I think this is one of those pieces, when it's painted, it's going to look awesome.
Yeah, that is really nice. Yeah, I think so too.
So these are coming. Awesome. These are going to debut at Wonderfest. Okay. And don't click on the next picture yet. Okay. So now we're going to go on to the next piece. And this is funny because Shanna didn't even know about this, and I had to listen to her yell at Mark the other day on the phone.
Can I show it yet or no?
And it was awesome. So I'm going to read this.
Okay.
This piece is a labor of love. And this is directly from Mr. Worthley. I thought this man was some kind of superhero when I was a kid. I thought he was indestructible and could do anything. Now you're going to get to who it is here in a minute. I built a big ramp and would jump over rows of garbage cans with my BMX bike. I basically reenacted the Caesar's Palace jump one day with my back tire hitting the last garbage can, and I went over the handlebars and ended up in the middle of the street. I wish I had that on video and in slow-mo. You and me both, pal. It would be spectacular. So, let us present Evel Knievel.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. Evel will be available as a full figure and also as a bust. The base for the bust is still to be determined and in development. Evel is presented holding his trademark cane and in his full leathers, looking to one side as if he's sizing up a ramp or maybe looking at the sky cycle prior to the, I'm going to correct Mark, Snake River Canyon jump, not the Snake Canyon jump. Some fan. Okay. They're hoping he can be printed at 1/6, but there may be printer limitations, so he may have to be 1/8. We'll see. They're really excited about this one. And, you know, I got to say, this is something no one's done before. And
surprisingly, I was just going to say, nobody. As a child of the 70s, I remember this. Like, I remember how big this was. My favorite toy as a kid was that wind-up, let me go back, that motorcycle that you put on that thing that you did, that you wound the wheel on, and then you pushed the button and it shot off, and you would put it up at the top of the stairs and jump all the way down. I love that toy. Wow. That is really cool.
So, really cool.
Really nice.
So the next piece that we're going to show here is a Jaeger Army piece. And they started out, they had a discount, but those spots have all been filled, but you can still get on the list. This is called Bitten, and it's the I gave a little sneak of this last time.
You did?
Yes. We gave a little sneak of this last time. And it's a Jaeger Signature Series number 3. And it's a triple bus set.
That's beautiful.
I really
like
the castings will be done by Paul Gill.
Chaney looks so sad.
You can reach out to Paul and or Jeff for payment information and everything. And there it is. Now, you know what I'll say about this is not a lot of people have done the we talked about that with John Diaz. He did a Maliva the Gypsy. But other than that, I don't think anyone's ever really sculpted her.
No. So,
this is kind of cool.
Yeah, this is really nice. Really
so,
nice.
So, number 3 in the Jaeger Signature Series. And contact Jeff for payment information and to get on the list. But I know they already have 40 waiting, so I don't know where they're at.
Awesome.
All right. Let's go to our good friend, Well Winner.
Mulan.
Here we have Mulan. This is, I'm not going to buy it, but it's beautiful. Okay.
Agreed.
It's amazing.
The dragon's fantastic.
The dragon's fantastic too, and a little crooked too. Yeah. I wouldn't want to print it.
No.
Okay. But yeah, it's again, it's look at I mean, and
yeah, the part breakdown, everything. Yeah, the engineering's beautiful, like everything. Well, just continues to knock it out of the park.
Yes.
All right, next.
Now the next one is a tribute to me. This is Moby Dick.
And wait, because you're a dick or you're a whale? Which one is it?
Both. Moby Dick was a cartoon. I watched it a little bit, but not a lot. Okay. But I have to say, when I saw this piece, it blows me away. And a lot of it is his render. I get it. Okay. But look at that thing. It's amazing. It is just freaking amazing.
I've never seen this cartoon, I don't think. You might have? I don't remember.
No, it's very it wasn't around for long, and I didn't watch it a lot.
But holy cow. Yeah, it's really cool little piece. Not was, little.
Moby Dick and the Mighty Mitor were at the same time.
Oh, really? Okay.
And let's see, he only had one short per half hour episode, sandwiched between two with Mitor.
Cool.
So it was only for a year. It's only 18 episodes.
Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm up next, and it is...
Wait, I want to say something about this real quick. You know, we talked about... I think we talked about last time the Tasmanian Devil was only in 5 Looney Tunes cartoons. And didn't we talk about
this? Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Okay. And so I went and got a list of them, and I found out that by for $12.99, this Stars of Space Jam collection, okay, on it are the 5 Tasmanian Devil cartoons.
Wow.
Okay. And what's funny is when you see them, especially the early ones, because they're from the 50s, he looks so different than he does in the more commercialized Tasmanian Devil stuff. And, but they're fun. I watched all 5 of them. They're a lot of fun.
So would that take just, 20 minutes?
It's just funny though, but.
Yeah, what's the runtime on that for real, for the 5 cartoons?
Jeez, I don't even know. Wasn't long. At the most, it's 5 minutes a cartoon. So
yeah. Oh man. But, okay. Up next. I have from CA3D Studios. I didn't even realize I got this until today, 5 minutes before I came on, because I get so many files Patreon wise. Hiccup and Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon, which I found out before we went live. Scott's never seen that either, so I'm not really going to talk to him about that. But I think How to Train Your Dragon is one of the better animated movies that came out in the last 20 some years. Thrown in with all that Pixar stuff, I think it's right up there with them. It's one of the best. And this is a kind of a more realistic take. It's almost like slash half animated, half realism kind of put in there, but it is a really, really nice piece. So if you're into How to Train Your Dragon, I'll be printing these. I can sell these.
So how worried are you about the wings sagging over time?
I don't know. I'm that wing, the left wing looks like it's vertical enough to where it would kind of hold itself up. Maybe.
And understand, isn't that just a problem with 3D printing?
Yeah, it's
if that was traditionally cast, I would have that same look. So
yeah, I don't know. And that's the thing. Like, some of this is so new, you really don't know how it's going to go. And I've talked about it before. I think if it's hollow, it helps, because a hollow pipe is sturdier than a solid pipe. If you go and look at the engineering math with all that, it's true. It's easier to bend a solid than a hollow. So I'm hoping maybe if this is printed hollow, it helps a little bit, but I don't know. I just think it's really, really, really nice piece.
So you've seen the parts breakdown. How are the wings?
I haven't looked. I just downloaded it 5 seconds ago. So I haven't even looked at parts breakdown. I haven't looked at anything. But it's really, really nice. Really like this. And then we have the finished creature from the Black Lagoon from Ina over on Patreon of Dick Leg Chart. I got to figure out how to say this with her. And is it the best creature of the Black Lagoon? No. Is it one of the best 3D printable creature from the Black Lagoons? Yes. Now, Scott, you being a Universal purist, what do you think? And be honest. Like, so,
my honest review of this would be the eyes and mouth are probably too big. Okay.
And let's get over to the sculpt and not the render.
Okay. You know, the eyes look a little better here, but I think once painted, they're probably still kind of big. I think the hands are a little small, but I think people tend to sculpt the creature's hands bigger than they actually are sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it varied by movie. Okay.
I'd love to hear what Mark Worthling has to say, too. Yeah. So if Mark,
the legs are a little long, and the ankles are a little off, but all that being said, but okay, if you got a 3D printer and want to print one of these and paint it and practice painting a creature, this is it, man. This is right. This is
so. This is what I told Scott before we went live when I showed him the pictures, and I want people to think back to the Galuna, which is the female creature with boobs that we have talked about. It's available from Pestilence Labs, so please head on over there if you're into that sort of thing.
Oh, to me, big selling gargantuan series.
Yes. This creature almost looks female to me. And I think it's the hips and the legs that make it almost look like a female.
You know, now that you say it though, it could be this chest part.
And that chest like almost looks kind of puffed out a little. To me, it and the sculptor. Now, I remember how you said sculptors tend to put themselves into the sculpture once in a while, and you can kind of see she's female. And so it's almost like a feminine creature. That's not a knock. It's almost like if you pushed this in that direction a little more, to me, this is how you would do a female creature. You change just the anatomy a little bit. And this is almost like an, I don't want to say in between. I almost said something that way got us in trouble. It's almost like an in between. But I think if you kept going in that direction, that's how you do the female creature. You just change proportions a little bit and do it that
way. I'm actually interested in it. I wouldn't mind seeing this actually painted.
Yeah. So I'm going to print one this weekend, maybe, and just get it out. I think it'll be the next one I do over on here on my printer. I'm really seriously considering signing up Patreon-wise to be able to sell prints, at least for Wonderfest, and do a couple of these and bring them with so people can have them and see them. So, but like we talked about, I haven't had a printer for 3 weeks, so it's been tough getting stuff done. But I think this is a great piece. As far as 3D printing goes, it's the best creature you can get, I think, when it comes to that. So, all right. After that, we are done. That's news and reviews.
No workbench? I got workbench. And you
I'm just saying that's the end of news and reviews. Workbench. What do you got for news and reviews? Oh, no, I do have
one thing. What do I have? Look at this bad boy.
What'd you do there, buddy?
This is the Mini Moohead Kong.
The Mini Moohead. That turned out great. I love that piece. That's, to me, is the perfect size.
Now, the only difference is there will be a little hole in this elbow and this elbow so that I can get a light in there to get it cured really well. It's all one piece. It is, I believe the overall size is 6 inches. Yes. So he's 6 inches tall. Bottom of the base, top of the head. And I'll have a few of these at Wonderfest.
Cool. That's a great piece.
And I look at this and go, this is something you buy for your kid to paint.
Yes. For sure.
Okay, because it's going to be, I'm pretty sure, hold me to it, pretty sure these are going to be $25. And they will debut at Wonderfest, so you cannot get one before.
Well, let's do this. If Scott happens to change the price, people who don't watch the show will have to pay the higher price.
Yeah.
If you mention you saw it here on Model Club TV, you get the $25 price.
And if you're Joe Bello, you're paying 50. Just kidding, Joe.
So that's, then we could just jump right into Workbench. It's been a disaster around here in terms of everything broke. Nothing's going right. Scott, how about you?
So, yeah, I've been burning like crazy, doing crazy stuff. I want to thank, believe it or not, if you've been following Jesse at all, I have Jesse up and running. Ed Bradley and I and a few other people, we've got Jesse up and running. And printing for Wonderfest. One of the big problems that I have sometimes 3D printing is when you print small parts, especially if you print them on your Jupiter because you got the big plate. Now, if I print them on the Saturn, sometimes I'll just leave them on the Saturn and I can fit the Saturn into my wash and cure, the plate, and just wash it when it's still attached to the plate. Okay, but a lot of times, you pull a piece off and it's so small and fragile and you're worried about it buzzing around in
right,
there.
Or falling through the basket.
So Jesse's told me, I got a solution for that. And these are aquarium filter bags. Okay. And they're mesh. Yeah. Okay. But you can put your little pieces in there. Watch this. Watch this. Zip up. Okay. That's the sound your mom's used to. Okay.
Honestly, I think that's my favorite one you've ever done.
And
that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
This is, you know, it's mesh enough that stuff will flow through, but it's a strong enough mesh that it really have to be a small part to get through there.
Yeah.
Come in a package of 10. I think you get 5 white ones and 5 black ones. Ebony. Anyway, I think it's like $12.99. So they're like $1 piece.
Okay.
And Jason said to me, he says, well, how long will they last? And it's like,
yeah, who knows? And at that point, what does it matter? I was using to kind of tell other people what I was doing is taking sculpture mesh wire that has the really fine holes and making like a basket out of that. That's a zillion times better idea. That's really good. Like, so, and being a fish guy, he knew that was there. That's great.
Yeah. So there you go.
Awesome. Okay. Our guest this episode is George Stevenson. We decided to have George back. He asked to come back when we were doing our live show. We said, sure, anytime. We wanted to get him last time, but we got him this time. So thank you, George, for coming on. We have a nice, just conversation about the hobby, the state of the hobby, and just kind of like life a little bit. Like,
Jason, of course, likes it because George agreed with him on something. So, you know.
That is not why I liked it, although it helps.
That would love to be all hail King George because you agreed with Jason. Anyway.
I'm glad he saw what I said as. You'll see when you watch the interview. You'll see. But thank you, George, for coming on. And there's some really cool new stuff you're going to see coming.
Yes.
And salt vampires. That's my favorite part. All right, we'll see you in a minute. We are back with George Stevenson. George, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Good to see you, fellas.
Thank you for returning. You're a return guest. We only have like a little group of people that have been back more than once.
Really?
And
okay.
You're one of them now. And we're
I'll come back anytime you want.
George is always ready. George always says, hey, I'll come on anytime. We'll talk about whatever you guys want.
And thanks for enduring the live stream the other day. We're going to do more of that.
You know, I wish I could remember when you're doing it, or I wish I'd know when you're doing it.
Yeah, it's the way YouTube pushes it out. It's kind of weird. You have to look in a certain spot. And then if we put it up on Facebook, but everyone, you know how Facebook is. You miss things and it's just weird. But anyway, how are you? What's going on?
Pretty good, man. Super busy. Like I was saying, busier than I really want to be for a guy who's retired. But I'm having fun.
And it's been how long for everyone that you've been retired?
I retired from the bench 2 years ago this month, April 1st of 2022.
Congratulations. Again. Yeah,
thanks. And I'm digging well it. Earned. And I have resisted doing any what we call senior judge work. That's where they call in retired judges to kind of help out with stuff. And they were trying to get me to come back. And I almost did. And thank God I didn't, because they wanted me to come back and do nasty stuff. Sex cases.
Yeah. You don't want to. So, no.
No. Nope. No, I did. I did a lot of those my last 5 years on the bench. A lot. And we have a bunch of new judges here. Our bench turned over. I mean, I'd say probably more than 50% have fewer than 5 years experience.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the pandemic just, we had to shut down, and that blew up our backlog. We had thousands of felony cases backlogged, and a lot of those were sex cases. And those are the hardest cases anyway, and they don't get better with age.
No.
So I almost went back and did some of that, and then I decided, you know what? Nah.
Yeah, those cases, I'm sure, eat your soul. And
oh yeah.
You don't want any part of that. Yeah. If you don't
those cases to. Make you question the existence of God.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure.
I've had those days, too, at work where things have happened, and I'm like, ha. You know, that just.
Yeah.
And I have the same thing at work. There's people that retired from teaching, and they're back subbing the next year. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? What are you doing? Right. Get out of here. Go do something else.
I can't say nothing. I went back to Ford.
Yeah, this guy. He did the same thing.
Yeah, you know, people just don't know how to retire, man. Yeah.
But I'm only doing 2 days a week, so I'm good.
Are you?
Nice. Do you find that now that you're retired, because I did for a year and a half when I did nothing, you sat around and you went, how did I find time to do anything while I was still working? Because there's always something to do, and especially if you've got a hobby.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you, the pandemic helped with that a little bit, because we were doing court, a lot of court hearings, except for trials. We were doing court hearings via Zoom. Mm-hmm. And so, but I'm right here. I got calendars, and I'm looking at people on the screen, and I'm dealing with the cases. And then when there's a break in the calendar, you know, I might go, you know, pick up a kit to paint, or I might go start packing up an order that I need to ship out. So it was kind of cool, actually. But
where's the gavel, George? Is the gavel still there? You're not going to gavel us tonight, are you? You're not going to order from your spot there.
No, I retired from that. Don't do that anymore. Yeah, but no, it's great. I enjoy it. Highly recommend retiring while you can still enjoy it. Because a lot of my colleagues got sick shortly before they retired. A couple of them died before they retired. Several of them never got to enjoy retirement. They were dead within a couple of years.
And I was like, I've had the same thing. Like, people got sick within 2 or 3 years of retiring. And it's the saddest.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing that could happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So knocking on wood.
This guy. Yeah, I know. You're one of them.
It's like... Yeah. It's like I go back to work. They're paying me more money than God. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, here, you're making more money than you ever made. Got an easy job. You can do whatever you want. And here's some cancer to go with that. And, it's like, hey, just throw this in there.
Right.
Which, by the way, I went for my annual sardine can today. So hopefully I'm good for another year.
Good. But, Jason, how old are you?
I'll be 50 this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when can you retire?
I was just talking to someone. I think I have 6 years left.
Okay.
And because I have to be 55 and I have 35 years in, and you can buy up to 2 years with sick time. And I have my sick time saved up. So as soon as I'm ready, I can go. I think.
So are you going to do it as soon as you're eligible?
Yes. Good. And then I will go work at Home Depot or somewhere just completely different, and, you know, cool, to pay the bills a little bit, but I need to walk away.
Life is too short.
Yep.
To do something that you don't absolutely love for 8 hours a day.
I know. And I love part of my job, and then other parts I'm like, anyway, let's not get depressing. Retire when you can, everybody.
Yes,
you know,
do that.
It's They'll replace you. The one thing I always hear, you die, they'll replace you the next day. They don't care. And it's the truth. They, like, deep down, they really don't care. Some places do, but most places, you're just a number.
I watched that at a car plant. They keep building cars.
Yeah.
They do.
So we're
George, what do we have down the pipeline here for Wonderfest?
That's exactly what I was just going to say.
Your class sold out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've got that going. So we can't sell that because that's already sold out.
Well, there is something else you could sell. You know, we sponsor the make and take there.
Okay.
And we have a couple of cuties this year.
Okay.
Can I rent and get them?
Yes, for sure.
So we got a couple of little busts.
Heck yeah.
He's about 3, maybe 4 inches tall with the base. Four parts. The head, the hands, the body and base are printed together, fully 3D printed.
That's so fantastic. And that's so... Is there an age limit on make and take so we can keep these, these adults out of there?
You know, that's up to Wonderfest.
Okay.
I know they... My understanding is that they don't charge kids anything for it.
Okay.
But originally it was just for kids, and then a lot of adults started getting into it.
That's what because I remember that first year they did it, I volunteered to help in there, and it was just for kids. So everybody, let's make sure some kids get in there first. Jump in.
And hold on a sec. I got one little accessory for the other one that I have here. And this is the other one also for the make and take.
Aw.
Gizmo, and he's holding the lollipop as a weapon.
That's fantastic.
He's got the Rambo bandana on and comes with the little base, and Gizmo is just two pieces and the lollipop.
That's fantastic.
Also 3D printed.
Very cool. All right, Wonderfest make and take. Everybody get on over there with your kids if you're bringing your kids. Please give it some time. Let some kids get in there first. We want to, you know, spread the love to the next generation, and then, you know, get in there yourself if you have some time. But it's really cool that Wonderfest does that. A lot of places don't. I'd love to see a lot more of that at Wonderfest, because you weren't at Adepticon this year. I went, you weren't there. I'd like to know why in a second, but they do a lot of that, as you can attest to. There's a lot of painting and sharing paints around there and getting people involved in actually painting stuff. So it'd be cool if Wonderfest did a lot more stuff like that. But Wonderfest, Adepticon, what happened?
I was just too busy, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do okay at that show. It's certainly worth doing. But I got burned out at the end of last year, man.
Yeah, it's a long show.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, it is a long show. Yeah. I got burned out the last 3 months of 2020.
Gotcha.
We were just buried. And then I just had to walk away in January. Except I still had to ship orders and stuff.
Yeah.
But I just needed to just chill.
Yeah.
And doing a show, that ain't chilling.
No, especially that one.
It is for me.
It is. Of course it is.
So that's why, you know, I'll probably do it next year. But
well, they just announced they're moving to Milwaukee.
Yeah. Wow.
So
what do you think of that?
They needed to move. And with the way Illinois is, it doesn't surprise me because of how expensive the bigger options are. Because from where they were, they needed to step up to either Rosemont or Donnelly Stevens that in Rosemont or McCormick. And that would, it's going to drastically increase the price. So if they can keep it still a lower price in Milwaukee, it's not that much further for me. It's like another hour, but I think the other people coming in from Europe who fly to Chicago and it's easy to get, you know, you'll have to now take some other weird flights to get to Milwaukee. So I think that's going to be the sticking point, but who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But
it'll be interesting. I hope they do well.
Yeah, I do too. I really like that show. And I hope it keeps going. So,
yeah.
So it's like we were just talking about, it's May, the build up to Wonderfest. What does your typical, like almost May, late April look like for George and Blackheart?
So, I'm hustling, trying to get stuff molded and cast. That has been the most frustrating thing the last 2.5 to 3 years, getting my stuff molded and cast.
Let's talk about that. That's a huge, and we've noticed that too. So continue.
Yeah. So, you know, most of the guys that I work with, I've worked with for a long time. I mean, you know, some of them 30 years since Geometric. Okay. And as some guys drop out of the hobby producing, molding, and casting, that puts more of the onus on the guys who stick around. And many of those guys who stick around are the guys that I've been working with for a long time. And last year was a nightmare. I didn't even have enough stuff. I didn't have all the busts for our class last year. We were 4 short. People had paid and showed up a day early, and we didn't have them. Okay. It was an embarrassment. I mean, I was in tears.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because the guys that I work with weren't working. They were working their butts off, but everybody's counting on them. And so I put orders in with some of my molding and casting guys in October. Okay. And we still didn't get everything we needed. And I think part of that is some of the guys who are doing kits don't design them well. So you got a million little tiny parts, and that's not a good thing for molding and casting resin. It takes forever to set up. Molds are difficult. Get a fair number of failure parts. But you know, you have a handful of guys who are really good, really trustworthy molding and casting partners, who are doing all this work for so many people and new people. And, you know, they don't want to turn people away because you never know when you're going to need their business too.
Right.
So it was a nightmare. We were short last year. And even though I had placed orders in October, and, you know, I understood you got other clients, you know, so give me at least some of what I ordered, which they did. Give the other guys at least some of what they ordered, which they did. But nobody was really happy, you know, with how things went. And again, it wasn't their fault. It you know, it was what it was.
Yeah.
And you just kind of go with it. So this year, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just at the height of garage kit molding and casting. How many casters do you think there were that you could go to?
Well,
and Scott, you could answer this too, like, because you were in it.
Yeah.
Casting.
We started off doing our own molding and casting. Well, actually, we had some people teach us. Mm-hmm. And then we started doing our own molding and casting. But we hit a point when we started doing the vinyl kits. We were for a while, we were having the stuff produced in Japan, but our deal with Max Factory was, we want you to teach us how to do it because we're going to want to do it in-house. Although we'll still be using you, we want to be able to do some stuff in-house. And so we went over there and to Japan and learned how they were pulling vinyl and learned their whole setup and videotaped it. They let us and brought it back here and got our own setup. But when we started doing the vinyl kits, all of a sudden distributors started jumping on us, you know, they wanted our stuff, and that kept us so busy. They didn't just want the vinyl, they wanted some of the resin stuff too, and that kept us so busy that we just couldn't keep up. So we started farming out a lot of our resin stuff. We used Acme down in Elgin. We used we started using Mark Brokaw out in Washington. We used Jimmy Flintstone for some stuff. We had guys here in town, Minifex. Mm-hmm. That was Mike Berglund's company.
Yeah.
We used them, and we were still doing some molding and casting for ourselves. We didn't go to our competition. I think it was probably because we had the sense that a lot of those guys treated it like a hobby. And we didn't. This was our business. I mean, I quit practicing law for a few years to focus on Geometric. And so, you know, a lot of guys didn't, it was their hobby, even sculptors, some of the sculptors, it was a hobby for them. And so when we were getting licenses, you know, the clock is ticking, you know, the license is running. We need those sculptures quick. We need the molds made. We got to get stuff approved. We need to get the castings out, you know, take advantage of that time that the license is alive. And so we overworked ourselves, but then we started branching out. So one of the good things was we were friends with most of our competitors. And we talked to them and learned a lot from them. Shortcuts that you make, better material, things you could do to make your castings come out better. And we started doing that stuff, but we still were overworked. We couldn't keep up with orders.
But even back then, your competitors, a lot of them, were doing their own. Okay.
Yes.
I mean, and, you know, and I'll just throw names out there, but, you know, Dice Man Creations, he was casting his own stuff. Rotundo was casting his own stuff. Sirocco casting his own stuff.
Yep.
Mike Parks, you know, these guys were all doing their own work.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And there's less and less of that now. That's what I notice.
Right. Okay?
It's
true.
And it's for whatever reason. And I even told Jason, I've got a big rotocaster. I've got a small rotocaster. I've got the pressure pots. I could do it all. I don't want to.
Right.
I don't want to. At 60 years old, I don't want to. Doing a few favors this year, but for the most part, it's like, I want to be done. I want to build and paint what I have.
Yep.
But it's, so yeah, I just, like you say, you don't want to go to your competitors. Now even your competitors aren't really, doing it. So there's just a handful of places out there doing it right
now. So how many, between the two of you, how many casters do you think are out there that you can go to reliably? Three? Four?
Yeah, maybe five. I would say reliably now, you said.
Yeah, well, and that's like, yeah.
We have 12 different companies around the country that do molding and casting for us.
Okay.
No, well, that's not accurate. We have 12 different companies that do production for us because some of them do 3D printing.
Okay.
Some of them, there are a couple that do exclusively 3D printing. There are some that do molding and casting and 3D printing, and there are some that do just molding and casting. But 12 different companies in this country do molding and casting for us. Then we got one in Thailand, and we haven't used China in a while, but we had three companies in China that did work for us.
Okay.
So, and every now and then I'll head over to Minifex, they're the company in town, and I'll do some casting of my stuff there when they get real busy and I have needs. So,
yeah,
you know, that's not something that I want to be doing, you know, that's just one more thing that I have to do occasionally. I can't take on anymore. And that's one of the reasons I don't have a 3D printer, man. That's just one more
thing. It's eating all my time. I'll say that for other people. All my time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went from one to four. So it's...
Yeah.
I think you got four too, right, Jason?
I have four resin and three FDM. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is usually your busiest time. Is it, and you are doing that again? Like,
well, actually, our busiest time starts October 1st.
Okay.
Through the end of the year. We have a huge Halloween sale, and then we have a Black Friday sale. We were so busy with our Halloween sale that we didn't even do a Black Friday sale this year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Last year. Yeah. I hadn't shipped all the shit from the Halloween sale when Black Friday rolled around. We're still shipping that stuff almost up till Christmas. Yeah. It was
success
crazy.
Is difficult sometimes. It's like, it's like you're the dog that caught the car, you know, like, and then you're like, oh crap, what do I do now?
Yeah. So then January comes and, you know, I kind of get a little bit laid back, you know, basically exhausted. And then February I'm playing catch up for having laid back a little bit in January.
Yeah.
And then in March, boom. All of a sudden, I'm getting ready for Wonderfest.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, man. But there have been some things that have changed for us. The guys that do traditional sculpting, you know, sculpting and pushing clay.
Yeah.
There just aren't that many of them anymore. And a lot of the guys that I used to use for that stuff, they've gone digital. And Jeff Yeager is really the only one that I still work with that does traditional sculpting. So, you know, which is great, you know. And he's as long as Jeff Yeager is pushing clay, I hope he'll be pushing clay for Blackheart. So, but he's one guy. And
he's being tugged from a lot of different directions. Yeah, as well.
He is. And the guys who used to do the traditional sculpting who have gone to the digital, you know, that's a problem, because if I want a 1-to-1 scale piece, there aren't that many guys that have printers that can print them. Okay. Unless we take it apart, unless we cut it up. And that's a lot of work.
Yeah. I never thought of that. Yeah. That's something that I never. Yeah. In this technology change, I never really considered that. Because that's your huge, that's your big thing. Life's big stuff.
It is.
Yeah.
Now I have come across another guy, actually, Dan Thompson. He sculpted our 1-to-1 scale mummy bust, and he sculpted our Art at the Bay. And we have another one coming from him in the next few months.
Okay.
Okay. So he does 1-to-1 scale stuff, and he's good. I mean, he's right up there with Jeff Yeager.
Okay. Cool.
But anyone else? I mean, you know, Joe Simon, who probably sculpted more of our 1-to-1 scale pieces than anybody. He's not doing traditional sculpting for me anymore. Yeah. He's doing digital. And since he's in Thailand, there's an advantage to him doing digital because he can just send files, but we can't do big stuff.
Yeah.
Until now.
Okay.
So let me show you something.
Yes, let's see.
Okay. Oh, where? Let me grab this.
Ah, there's a devil behind him.
That's the Green Goblin.
It's in red.
He's got a cape.
Oh, that is the Green Goblin.
That was his.
Yeah, that's the, yeah. I know which one that is now.
So, this is our 1/3 scale Angelique.
Okay.
All right. We had advertised it as 1/2 scale, but it's really closer to 1/3 scale. All right. Well, we have an industrial printer now.
Heck yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Okay.
Nice.
They can do bigger than this. You want to see something bigger than this?
Yes. Let's see what you got. Oh, man.
He opens
that's cool.
His pants. I'm leaving. Huh? He opens his pants. I'm leaving.
Take my word for that.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
So bear with me. First, this is something that we're going to have at Wonderfest.
Oh, we get a preview. Awesome. Oh, boy.
This is our Queen Alien bust. Her head is about 14 inches. This is all one piece.
Yep.
Okay. 14 inches. I don't think we could have done that before we got an industrial digital printer. Mm-hmm. So 14 inches. Hold on.
All right.
We need like a big top hat here, like George's pulling stuff out of the top hat. Yep.
So this
she's
24 inches, the head.
Holy crap.
This is one piece except for the face. Okay? That's our Queen Alien.
Oh, that's sweet.
So I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah, that is really cool.
So yeah. If I can ask, and maybe you don't know yet,
yep.
What is your price on something like that going to be?
I haven't set a price yet.
Okay.
Okay. But I can tell you this. It's cheaper, much cheaper than it would have been if I had this molded and cast.
In that size, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because with the molding, it won't, heck, even the sculpture, yeah, that was pretty cheap. Danielle Angelos sculpted it, did this.
Okay. Okay.
Digital sculpt. So, I mean, we paid for it. But the mold and cast, the thing, that, first of all, they would have had to cut this up into four parts.
Mm-hmm.
To get it to come out, because there's so much intricacy in it and so many undercuts and whatnot. And it still has a lot of parts. There are a lot, you know, the spine's off the back. She's got the forearms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's got the little kind of like mushroom looking. I don't know if you can see this.
Yeah, I can see them. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it would have been a lot more expensive than it's going to be. And I'm not sure how much it's going to be yet. I just got this today.
Dude.
And threw some paint on it. Just for you guys.
That's fantastic.
So it's really good. Really well done. And I'm really excited about it.
I'm glad that someone was able to print that. That things are getting bigger. That you can actually...
Yeah. So... I'd say that if this had been molded and cast, we'd be looking at $800-$900.
I was just going to say around there.
I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe a little bit more than half of that for this one.
Yeah, cool. Mm-hmm.
And then the smaller one, which I think will be more popular because of the size. I mean, This is a big mama jamma here.
There's some dudes out there that like big though. So I think it'll do very well for you.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. But yeah, it's fun, man. It's just.
And the teeth, the teeth are printed in clear?
Yes.
Cool. Very cool.
They're printed in clear.
That's so cool.
So this is a piece that's actually produced by three different companies. One, our industrial printer does the big parts. And then we've got guys in town that are doing the spikes off the back and the arms. And then I've got another guy out east that's doing the clear teeth and the little hands from the little arm. Okay. The hands from the little arms. No, and the face.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
So, you know, the digital sculpting and 3D printing, man, you know, it's, you got to look around and you got to stay on your toes, but we were lucky to come across this guy that has an industrial printer.
Yeah.
And his company makes them, as I understand.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And they ain't cheap.
Nope.
So, The piece really cool. That you blew up back there, was that initially a digital sculpt or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's nice. I mean, I can do it. I mean, I could do her life size. I thought I was doing her life size.
That's pretty close.
It's pretty close.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Pretty close. It's hard to tell because she doesn't have ears.
Right.
She doesn't have the top of the head.
Right.
That's amazing.
It's pretty close.
If you line it up with your, yeah, no, that's about 1:1. I would say that's pretty close.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
How many brand new pieces total do you think you're going to have?
We have Ripley. We have Hicks. I believe we'll have a Pone, all those from Aliens.
Game over, man.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It is nice.
Joe Simon.
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't bring it. Have you guys seen Hicks?
Yeah, I think so. I'll grab a picture. Okay.
Yeah, now he can grab a picture and put it up here.
Okay. And then a Pone. It's being molded right now. Mike Allen is doing the molding. No, not molding. It's going to be fully 3D printed.
Cool.
Mike Allen is doing the printing.
Nice. So, yeah. Could you tell Mike to come on the show once in a while? Like,
Jesus.
He always ditches us. He says he's going to do it and then never shows up and never calls us.
You know, now, George, you're going bigger and I'm going smaller.
Thanks, Pete. Did Tony do that?
No, this is my 18-inch Kong that Michael Berglund scanned, cleaned it up. And so it's originally a Matt Mannett sculpt with digitally remastered by Michael Berglund.
Okay.
And I do it in Aurora scale. And I do it in this scale. And I'll probably do it in a few more scales. And I made busts out of it. And it's just, again, maximize your sculpt.
Oh, yeah. Mike's a great guy, isn't he? Great guy to work with.
He's a nut. We got to the point where we bust balls. Okay. Yeah. So, and then we give Mark Worthling a hard time because he asks for it. And so the three of us, we have a good time.
Mike sculpted that Grogu and Gizmo for us.
Okay.
I'm so happy you guys are doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fun.
It will be.
So this will lead to my question. Okay, you were around from almost the very start of the Garage Kid Hobby. Okay. Did you go to the first Wonderfest? You were at first Wonderfest, right?
Yeah, before it was called Wonderfest.
So you were at the first one. Been almost to everyone since then. I know you took a little break there for a couple of years, but even then you were still coming.
Yeah.
If I remember right, you're still coming as a you know, just a loiterer like the rest of us were at the time. And now you see where we've progressed. How do you see this whole, I mean, I see a lot of people resist the 3D printing thing. And, you know, we were talking a little bit before you came on. And, you know, you said, well, you want to keep up with the competition. Well, when I see things like you just showed us, okay, you're not keeping up with the competition. You're a step ahead of the competition with stuff like that. Okay, so how do you see this going in 4 or 5 years in the Garage Kid Hobby? And I mean, you talked about molders and casters, and there's also less clay sculptors. So what's going to happen? What do you see happening?
I think we're going to see more and more people doing 3D printed parts big. Mm-hmm. I think the price of the industrial 3D printers will come down. I think there'll be more accessibility to that. I think, you know, guys in this hobby are very creative, you know, and you got problem solvers. You know, one of the best problem solvers that I know is Mike Berglund. I mean, that's his thing. As when I met him in 1990, mm-hmm. you know, he was a problem solver. And that was his business. He was a special effects guy. Okay. And there will be more and more guys like that who have come up in the digital realm who will figure out better ways to do things that are being done now and who will figure out ways to do things that we think can't be done. When the episode that you guys had Jesse on, I think that's the one. After you finished with Jesse's presentation, Jason, you read an email or something that somebody sent in, and you said, you know, I'm just going to say it here and now, but the Garage Kit hobby is dead. Garage kits are dead,
and I was still paying for it. I'm still paying for it.
And then you went and explained. And what you ended up saying was the figure model hobby has more to offer than ever before in the history of modeling. And I was like, yes, yes. Okay. Now I understand what you were saying. And you're absolutely right. And that's where it's going. Better stuff, more variety, yes. Prices are, it can be better.
And I know I hurt people's feelings with what I said, because there's, and I'm one of those people. I love this hobby. I love what it's always been, but it's going to be different going forward. And at some point, you kind of have to let go that everything's going to be made out of solid polyurethane resin. Like, it's just not cost effective anymore. And it just doesn't make sense when there's this other technology available. If your thing is building and painting figures, what do you care what it's made out of?
Right.
Like, what do you care? As long as you have that figure, if that's truly what this is about and you love painting model kits, then it doesn't matter. It's never been better for you. You have more options, more subject matter options, more scale options than ever before.
Yes.
And I really wish people would just kind of let go a little bit. And I get it. I get the love for what we've had for all these years.
Yep.
And I'm sure both of you do too, because both of you have been so integral into all of that, that in the community apart about it too, like the Clubhouse, Facebook, Gremlins in the Garage, Wonderfest, like all this stuff built up around that. But now it's like, oh crap, that's going to go away because we're printing them. And I don't think that's true. I think you can expand into what other people are doing and drag our people along and be like, look, there's this really cool stuff going on over here. There's really cool stuff going on over there. We could talk to those guys too and say, hey, look, you can still cast this piece. You don't have to print it. When there's some things that make no sense to print, especially like, and there's some things that right now make no sense. When you have to print 100 little, like, I don't know, glasses for something, makes no sense to cast that. You can print a plate of 100 and be done.
Well, that's right. George was saying, small pieces, the work that goes into casting those.
It's insane.
You know, I've been working, helping Jesse out with this Tin Man piece he's got. And it's 50 some pieces. And they're casting, I think, only 13 or 14 of them. Now, there's a few more they could have cast, but they didn't. But they probably will end up. And thank God I got him printing. And he's almost printed all the pieces he needs now for Wonderfest.
Because, reminds me, you took me aside when we first, like, because we've known each other for a long time. But when I first started going to your house and hanging out, and you were showing me how you mold things and cast things. And you were showing me how you mold little pieces and how you have to vent things and how you have to, like, and when you, because people don't understand, you don't take something and put it in the rubber and then hope for the best. You have to create little vents so that the air bubbles go out and everything fills out. And to do that on a tiny, delicate piece is a lot of work. It's a lot harder than claying up a torso than it is doing little tiny things. And it's
right.
So,
and it takes longer for those little pieces to set up.
Yeah.
And you're more likely to get failure. Now, this is one of the arms, one of the Queen Alien's front arms. Okay. So for comparison.
I thought that was Jason's arm when the check comes.
So this is my thumb. Okay. So that's a pretty small piece, right?
Yeah.
That would be a nightmare to mold and cast.
Because you'd have to, Scott, how would you do it? You'd turn it, you'd have to have a vent on each fingertip, right?
Or so something? If that was all one piece like that, how would I do it? I would probably have the fingers up and the elbow up. And those would be my pore areas and my vent areas. And again, everybody does it different. Okay, but yeah, pretty much like that.
Yep.
But you still have to get that resin to flow into there. And that's the real key. So now, if you go to pressure casting, and, you know, everyone, pressure casting is beautiful and the pieces are right, but it is not time effective at all. Okay.
A piece could take you take 10 minutes to set up.
Yes. Okay. And then you got to pressurize the tank and you got to get everything set up and you got to get it in there quick because you got to work fast as well. Okay.
And, which we know is not your strong suit.
And I hate him, Jarrish. I fucking hate him. Anyway, and on top of that, once that tank is pressurized, okay, you have an explosive device sitting there that if anything goes wrong, okay.
YouTube sensors. He's talking about casting. He's not talking about anything else.
I understand that, but that's all part of it.
I know, but I don't want the filter, the algorithm to come out of here. Explosive device.
Well, that's why I didn't say the B word. But, you know, it's so, I mean, you know, again, that's just part of it. Same thing with rotocasting. Okay. Rotocasting is great. Saves resin, brings the cost of the piece down and all that. Okay. Yep. But it's not as easy as taking a two-part mold and dumping resin in and being done. You got to set that mold up. You've got to attach it to the rotocaster. You've got to spin it. And then I know Brokaw does two layers, and he opens it up.
Or if you're Paul Gill, you're spinning it by hand.
Okay.
Right.
Or if you're Paul Gill, you're spinning it by hand. I love those videos. Paul, keep them coming. That's why Paul's got those giant forearms.
He'll crush your melon.
But yes, it's still time consuming. Okay. It's not to rotocast a piece. I spin a piece for like 12 minutes spinning. Okay. And then I let it cool off and harden up more before I demold it. So again, it's not, you know, where the 3D print, the only drawback to this takes 13 hours to print. Okay. But the nice thing about it is I got one printing downstairs and I'm up here with you two knuckleheads talking. So
why we gotta be knuckleheads?
How many of those can you get on your build plate though?
Depends on, so I can only get one of these on my Saturn build plate. I can get two on my Jupiter.
Okay.
So
Drawback. And that hence that's why people get
so that's
15
the drawback
printers.
Of the 3D printing. Okay.
Into your line.
Yep.
But
so with the roto, one thing you didn't mention with rotocasting. Yeah, I just had our bride, our 1-to-1 scale Bride of Frankenstein, remolded. Cost me $2,000. Okay? Because we had to do new jackets. Hard shell jackets.
Mm-hmm.
And then the silicone is inside that. And so, I mean, that adds to the life of the mold, but that's just one more thing, one more expense that you have trying to do a big piece like that, which now with some pieces, I'll be able to avoid that cost by having it printed.
Yeah.
And like George says, with the jackets, now I've spun a few pieces with jackets and I've spun a few pieces that are just block molds. The jackets, again, are more work that people don't realize because you've got to bolt them together. I assume Mark's having them bolted together. I had clamps on mine, but either way, you've got to do something to hold them together. Again, it's more work. To make one big piece doesn't happen in
right.
15 minutes that you can just pour a little mold, okay?
Yeah.
You're looking at almost 45 minutes for one.
Yeah, yeah, not to mention the 2 or 3 or 4 days to make that shell.
Yes. And then you have to store it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's another thing. You have to store it somewhere.
Yes.
Instead of storing it on, you know.
Yeah.
On a thumb drive.
A thumb drive, right.
Right.
You know. So.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, and I'm with you guys. I see it changing. There's aspects of it I don't like to change. But then you see people, I see a clay sculpt just has more going for it than a 3D sculpt. And in a lot of cases, that's true. However, you're not looking in the right places because when you see some of this stuff, like the stuff you just held up, especially, okay, that's as good as anything anyone's going to clay sculpt.
Right.
Or better.
So it's better. Or better, in some cases, better. Yeah.
I think the one problem that people have, though, is, and it just because you can doesn't mean you should. Like sometimes you get, like George was saying, or you were saying, you get so detailed that you go overboard and you get carried away. And it's like, okay, I really did not need this texture on that because then how am I going to sand that out? And like, so you can do really cool stuff, but sometimes you don't have to. Less is more, you know, like. But
you know, the one of the big problems that I had with production the last couple of, particularly this time last year, some of the guys that I used the most to do molding and casting for me were doing work for some other people who had kits that were just ridiculously parted out. I mean, 50 parts.
Yeah.
And these weren't being printed. You know, I would have said, Mike Berglund, scan these little parts for me so I can print them. And so my molding and casting guys can just do the big parts, which is what I was going to do with the Queen Alien until I found the industrial.
I'm really glad you found that guy. That's cool. That's really cool.
And there's a nice medium where you can do both. Okay. Jeff did that piece, that Big Trouble in Little China piece. For those guys. And he got a hold of me and said, hey, can you find this particular model gun and print one for me so that I don't have to make it. All right. And I said, sure, I'll see what I can do. Now, it was a little bit of a challenge because it was hard to find a good file of one, but I did. And we had to work with it a little bit to make it solid and stuff. And I sent them to Jeff. And then about 3 months later, he writes back and says, can you make one an eighth of an inch bigger? So I'm like, thanks for that. Yeah. So then you got to do math, which, you know, the teacher over there would go, oh, my God, no, not math.
Yeah, I know.
But so I was able to do it and, you know, set that up for them. So that was cool. You know, that was it's good to see. You know, it's good to see the mix nameplates. OK, I hate to say it. Poor Mark Kalin's going to go out of business because you're never going to have to make a nameplate again. Mm-hmm. OK.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, and I think ultimately all these are good. Good, show good progress in this hobby, more sophistication. And it isn't that difficult to be more sophisticated because the technology is there and there are all these resources. You can talk to people to find out how they do what they do and, you know, what is the good, you know, the best resin for 3D printing and what's a good 3D printer, that kind of stuff. I have no interest in doing that, but I'm glad that there are lots of guys out there who are getting into it. And so, Jason, when you said that, I was like, yep, you are absolutely right. And the words you used were perfect. The figure model hobby. Mm-hmm. The figure model hobby.
Yeah.
More variety, better stuff than ever in the history of modeling.
Yeah.
And not just figure, not just monsters, not just sci-fi and superheroes. Everything is available now.
Yes.
And I think it's great.
And look at what David Horvath is doing with Nostalgic Resin Production. He's doing weird stuff that no one would have done in a million years because it's stuff he wanted. And if he just makes his money back, he's good. You know, and I just hope people, I did not mean that as an attack. It's you're in a good place, everybody. The best it's ever been.
Yeah.
You just got to look for it. And I think some people are so stuck in their ways of looking in the same spot that they're not going to see all this other great stuff that's out there, you know? And it's,
I think you have to separate garage kid hobby from figure kid hobby.
Why?
Okay. Well, you don't have to, but they can't. Okay.
Oh,
Garage kid hobby is part of the figure kid hobby. Okay.
Yes.
And we've always just been a small part, really. When you look at all the miniatures and the military stuff and all that stuff, we've always been just a small niche group of figure modeling. Okay. Hey, it's not amazing garage kit modeler. It was amazing figure modeler.
That's right.
So it's, you know, let's, you know, look at the big picture. You know, now I'm going to get phone calls on this. I know it. And it's, you know, it is what it is, and I'm not putting down what anybody does.
No.
And anything.
And I think that's what some people took it as. Way. Yeah, yes, people took it as me like wanting them to go out of business, and it's not that at all. Like, I want people to make cool stuff, and however you can make cool stuff, great. Just know there's more cool stuff now than ever before. Like, it's the best it's ever been, and for those people who have been making it the traditional way, they're going to slowly fall off because it's just not, it's not feasible money-wise anymore.
Every digital sculptor we've had on the show, I ask them the important question, why'd you go digital? And everyone had the same answer. I was losing job.
Yeah.
Okay. I was losing jobs because the bigger companies and everything, that's what they want now. They want the files, they want to print their own files, they want to do whatever they want to do. And you know, they were losing jobs. And I remember watching an interview from probably 8 years ago or so, when last time Tony Cipriano went to Wonderfest, and Rob Madison interviewed him, and Tony said, I don't think I'll ever stop sculpting in clay. And this is when digital sculpting was first starting, like Bill Weiger was first starting digital sculpting. And Tony sat there and said, I don't think I'll ever, you know, No, I'm never changing. And trust me, I talk to Tony a lot. He's a caveman. Okay. He don't like change. But yep. He realized he had to. He had to. And there he is. He's still, now he's, you know, he's out there at the forefront, you know, sculpting for the toy companies and stuff like that. And the traditional sculptors are sitting there going, I can't get work. What's wrong?
Right. Yep. So, well, you got to keep up with technology. I mean, you just have to. Otherwise, you're going to be a dinosaur.
And it doesn't mean it's bad. Don't get me wrong. It's not bad. And the other thing, and I don't know how you feel about this, George, but the nice thing about this digital stuff right now, a lot of guys out there sculpting, and you can get a nice sculpt relatively inexpensive. Okay. So, and this is kind of what David Horvath is putting out, pieces that I never thought you'd see. Jimmy Stewart from It's a Wonderful Life. He's got Hawkeye Pierce from MASH coming out. Okay. And stuff like this. And you know what? That's a crapshoot. You don't know how many of those will sell. Okay. Where if you're doing that in the Garage Kid hobby, which is kind of how the Garage Kid hobby did start, you would do something of somebody that you wanted. And if you sold enough of them, you'd do your next project. But then it became more of, hey, if I do a Jaeger Frankenstein or, you know, Mike Hill Curse of the Werewolf, I know I'm going to make money on that. So it kind of stopped being that. I don't know. Do you agree with that a little bit, George? Do you see it like that?
If I understand you correctly, actually, I'm not sure I understand what you're asking me, but let me say this. I hear all the time people complaining, who wants another alien? Who wants another predator? Who wants another Frankenstein? You know, they've been done to death. Because they sell.
Exactly. From a business point, yes, they sell. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't do as well. Blackheart does not do as well with our original stuff or with some of our non-mainstream horror and sci-fi stuff as we do with the mainstream horror and sci-fi stuff. Right. Okay? You know, we've done some historical pieces. You know, when we go to the miniature shows, they'll do pretty well. They don't sell nearly as good as the salt vampire from Star Trek.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's
the salt vampire.
Yeah. I mean, come on. But that's the thing. Right? It's your audience. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know,
I'm serious. How about this one?
The salt vampire.
Right here. This is Baylock's puppet. He's in the credits of every Star Trek original series episode at the end.
Right.
I didn't know what the fuck his name was. We've been selling him well. Jeff Yeager sculpted.
That's funny.
Okay.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, so as a consumer, because I'm still more of a consumer than a producer or what. Okay. I have my share of Frankenstein kits, trust me.
You consume a lot. We can tell.
You shouldn't do another one or whatever. I'm just saying I have my share. So what's happened now is I become pretty selective. And if somebody does something I really like, I'm probably selling one that's farther down on the list because it's just, I can't keep, you know, hoarding them in. So as a collector, I'm excited when I see people doing obscure things that you normally would. And like you say, and I guess that was my point, is it's good to see that. It's good to see people doing, you know, what got me into this digital printing was cartoon kits, because it's just something that not a lot of people had done.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, here's this boom. You know, it's like a whole new world for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've spent more on digital files in the last 2 years than I have in model kits. Okay. Yeah. So,
it's, me too.
You know, so from that aspect of it, I think that it's, you'll see guys taking more of a chance producing. You know, they won't just produce what they think will sell. Okay. I think you have the ability to do both. Okay. You can do, you know, you're going to take and say, all right, I can sell this Frankenstein or these Star Trek things for sure. But yet you're still going to do some of the original things that you want to do.
Right.
The Jackie Robinson, was it Joe Lewis, Jackie Robinson, and
Jesse Owens.
Jesse Owens.
Yeah.
Peace. you know, that's something you wanted.
Right.
Yep. You know, that wasn't something you probably looked at and say, I'm going to sell a shitload of these.
Exactly. Okay.
In the right venue, you might. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you're certainly not going to probably at Wonderfest. But so I like to see that.
You find that venue, let me know, will you?
Well, I always wondered, like, maybe I'm about to give someone a $1 zillion idea, maybe. Why isn't there, and I've thought about this for years, I'm like, I should start this company. Why isn't there a sideshow type company that does replicas of sports figures? Like, why isn't there like a Michael Jordan premium format figure? Why isn't there a Barkley? Why isn't there a you know, name your NFL hero that you would like, there's people that would buy the shit out of that stuff, I'm sure, to have in their man cave, to have their Larry Bird statue or their Dick Butkus running like quarter scale NFL heroes.
So I'll answer your question.
Yeah, why? I'd love to know.
It would have to be a prepaint company.
Right, and that's what I mean. Like a sideshow. Yeah. Sideshow but style company.
Licensing. I would that's say the it. Licensing.
Is that it? Like,
yes. That's it.
But you would.
The licensing would kill you. You've got the NFL, then you've got the NFL Players Association. Yep. You know, I'm just saying.
Is that one? Honestly, that's a great conversation. So, yeah. Like, you really think it would be more than Marvel? Like, that kind of.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. I mean, look. There's a reason that the NFL, for example, is so popular. Okay. Because they do a lot of marketing and advertising their product. Okay. And they aren't going to let you make money off of them cheaply.
Right.
Okay. They don't care if you make a lot of money, but you're going to pay to make a lot of money.
Or even, would there be a way, and I don't know, because you guys are probably better at this than me. Would there be a way to do it under the NFL umbrella? Be like, go to them and pitch it and be like, hey, I got this idea. I don't know.
Again, they're going to want.
Like, and that's fine. As long as I get mine. Like, right, you know, because right. I think it would do.
You're going to have to put this out initial, right, yeah. George? You're going to have to put an initial amount out.
Absolutely. I mean, before you can even sit down and talk with them, you got to be talking about a lot more money than we can come up with.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Together. For sure. Yeah.
Okay. I remember when we were trying to get, you know, when I was doing Geometric, we really wanted to do comic book superheroes and villains, mainly villains. Okay. And Horizon was doing Marvel, but they weren't doing. So any of the characters that we wanted, okay? And so we contacted Marvel, and I happened to go out to Toy Fair and had a meeting with the folks at Marvel to discuss getting a license. And it looked like we had a deal. And then they called me a week later. My contact at Marvel said, sorry, we're not going to be able to do it. Why? Because another licensee has said that there's no room in the marketplace for two licensees of comic book characters. Now, you know who that was.
That would be Horizon.
Absolutely. Horizon. Yeah. And so we said, okay. I mean, it pissed me off. So we went to DC and found out that, and the person at DC that I was talking to negotiate a license said, well, you know, there is another potential licensee, and if you, what we're willing to do is we'll give you the license if you match their offer. I said, what's their offer? And when they told me, I was like, I said, first of all, I know who it is. It's Horizon. They're one of our main competitors. And I said, I know what they have going on with Marvel, and there is no way they can do what you're asking me to match. There's absolutely no way. And they said, well, that's their problem. I said, well, a year from now, when you see that they can't do it, I hope you'll come back to us. And sure enough, Horizon couldn't do it. As a matter of fact, Horizon got into so much trouble that they came to Geometric and they had us do some of their vinyl casting. Okay? Yeah.
Well, they had, they had the Superman come out, right? And the Steel? DC's
Steel. They had Batman. Actually, that Batman, but yeah, Batman they did was Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it was a movie version. And they had Batman, the Riddler, yeah. Penguin.
Yeah, all the Batman Return stuff. They had the they had the comic booky, that Poison Ivy, like run, and they had like that Mr. Freeze. They had all those kind of run then. Yeah,
right.
I want to say their first venture for DC was that Joker kit, where he's standing with the cane.
Yeah,
it could have been, or it was.
I think it was Steve Wang, and the Batman Steve Wang did.
Yeah, the Batman Returns.
Yeah.
But as far as comic based. That Joker, you know, with the cane. And I remember seeing that. And that, to me, today, is still one of my favorites. But
the money that those big guys want makes it impossible for an entrepreneurial effort to jump into it, okay? And most of the guys that are doing what we do are a little entrepreneurial business. You know, we don't have, you know, $50,000 we can throw into a
license. Can I go on Shark Tank with this idea? I have nothing. I just got an idea. Mark if you Cuban just give me your $1 million, I'll go to this company and ask for a license.
Well, and then you've got, again, individuals like, as far as video games, and not to get too far off on this, but there were video games that you didn't get certain players because certain players said no.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember that.
NBA Jam was one of these games, and Jordan wouldn't let him use this.
Yeah.
Well, that's because, and I get why, maybe you don't know. Like NBA Jam, they made those guys into like caricatures, basically.
That's not, there's actually versions that Jordan exists on it.
Really?
Jordan actually owns it. They made actual games with him on it, but he wouldn't let him license it just because they didn't have enough money or whatever. Like
NBA Jam was huge for a long time.
I loved NBA Jam, but.
I was a Street Fighter guy. Did you go to Friar Tux? Did you go to Friar Tux in Cal City?
Yes.
Yeah, George, you ever been there? Did you ever go over there? No. Okay.
It was an arcade.
Is that a restaurant?
It was an arcade.
It was an arcade.
Oh, I spent so much time over there as a kid. Hmm. One of my like fellow Boy Scouts, his big brother, who was in Scouts with us, was murdered there. Like really? When we were in junior high, it was awful. Like stabbed with an ice pick.
Yeah, that's terrible.
See, video games were a little bit after my youth.
Yeah.
You know. I'm 16 years older than you are, Jason.
That's You were playing Pong. Were you playing Pong with the
I had
the
Pong
with the the box that sat on top of the TV? I remember that.
Pong was awesome, man.
Yes, right. We thought it was the greatest thing, man. Wow.
It was badass. I loved it.
In front of the TV, the whole thing was a console, and one of you had to play left-handed and one of you had to play right-handed to the Pong, but
that's so awesome. All right, let's shift gears a little bit. I want to hear some of your favorite stuff, Garage Kids, that's not yours of all time. Like, and some of we can even go a little negative, but I'd like to hear, like, what's your favorite Garage Kit of all time that's not Blackheart and it's not Geometric? Like, when you first saw it, you're like, man, I gotta have that thing. If you or like, it's stuff that's in your collection that you really cherish, like your favorite pieces from other producers. Or do you have a favorite other company? Like some of the stuff that you appreciate from other people.
So what I was thinking was that my favorite would be a company that's in existence right now. and the reason it's my favorite is that they do their design. The way they design their busts are the way I would design mine. If I was doing that character and the characters they choose, it pisses me off because they're characters that I want to do. That's Paul Gill.
Nice.
Paul Gill. He is one of the few, you know, Gillman is one of the few that make me envious. Okay. I don't buy kits very often. I bought his whole Blade Runner series. I got it lined up and I bought his whole John Carpenter's The Thing series. Okay. Two of my favorite movies. I wanted to do them. Okay, he beat me to it.
Yeah,
and the way he did them, gorgeous.
Yeah,
someday I'll paint them. You know, mm-hmm. But he his stuff is really really good. I really like his stuff. Subject matter, design, sculpting quality. I mean, he uses Jeff Yeager for most of his stuff. So
But I think you're right on the design part of it. He's one of those first people that was doing like that quarter scale bust and the way he does it. No one else was doing it. Geometric kind of did that with, like, if you think of your Phantom from way back when, and the way it kind of like had that stylized to it, and it was like kind of blowing in the wind. There was like that hadn't been done before. Right. And I think what Paul is doing also hadn't been done before.
Right.
So that's cool. Well,
Paul added
another
the
one
pieces.
Is Pestilence. You know, Mark Worthling's company.
Oh, that guy.
That
but
guy.
Again, that I mean, guy. Look who's sculpting a lot of his stuff, Jeff Yeager, and the subject matter. That's stuff that I like.
Yeah.
So I easily those two. But there are others.
Do you have a favorite defunct model kit company? It's not around anymore.
Let's see.
Like if I think back, like someone who is, they've, no one's ever done it again. No one has done really what Greyzone did. Like no one's doing the skulls like that sort of like, that was like a flash in the pan and it was such a big flash and no one's really picked up that ball and ran with it since.
Yeah. Luis did a great job with this. That was great.
Scott, do you have one?
I missed Janice. Okay. Yeah. And the reason I missed Janice is because when you bought a Janice piece, you were buying a museum piece.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Okay. And it always laughed back then. People complained about the price, and now look at what people are paying for them. But you know, I would there were even the Janus pieces I didn't buy, like at the White Zombie and the Mystery Science, and stuff like that. They were beautifully done. It just wasn't something I was interested in buying.
Yeah.
Okay. The ones I bought, they're like museum pieces.
Yeah.
Okay.
Billiken.
Billiken had a lot of beautiful pieces. I mean, the Billiken Frankenstein to me still stands out as one of the best Frankenstein kits.
Sure. Yep.
Billiken has good stuff.
Yes. Trying to think
I can
who
say
else.
Geometric. George can. I can say Geometric.
I really like Max Factory's things. Max Factory had killer things. Killer. And they still, you know, they're still doing stuff, right? Like they're still, but not model kit like they used to. They're doing more, I think, pre-paint
girls
kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Max Factory. I had never heard of them. And I was at a convention at one of the first Chiller Theater shows. And we had just gotten a license for Trek. And we were trying to figure out how the hell are we going to do this? We can't do these things in resin because we know they're going to sell so well.
Let me grab one. Hang on. No, I have a bunch of Max Factory kits sitting right there. So I wanted people to.
So we were sitting around. It was like Saturday night. You know, the show had closed down for the day. Sitting in somebody's hotel room. And Sean Nagel had a Future Ninja kit. 1/6 scale Future Ninja sculpted by Takia and produced by Max Factory. And he started passing it around. And when it got to me, I looked at it and my partner was sitting next to me. I said, would you look at this man? He's got an egrets on the back of his jacket.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. I said, and look at the rope. You can see the threads of the rope. I said, man, this is who we're going to get to do our vinyl. And the quest was on. It took us a few months to finally get through. But that blew me away. I had never seen a kit so detailed in vinyl.
And you know, Cyber Ninja kits? Oh, man.
You can't get detail like that in vinyl. Only resin can get that kind of detail, people were saying. Wrong. Yes, you can.
You can.
And Max Factory, they were the best at making molds, man. They were fantastic.
That Takaya Devil, man? Beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to mention that. And I remember I bought that from you, George, when you were clearing them out.
Yes. I bought my second one because I had the original and I bought one from you. Yep.
I still have it. Yeah. And it's nothing. It's not a genre I'm interested in. I couldn't tell you who Devilman is. Anything. I remember seeing David Fisher's paint job of it. I think in the first or second Model Mania video. And I just remember saying that is just such a beautiful sculpt.
Yep.
And
I totally forgot. So this is Max Factory. They did all the anime Guyver kits too. Yes. And so that's what this is. This is Elegan. I totally forgot they came pre-painted, basically.
Oh, that's right.
And you're just kind of cutting them off and gluing them together. But no one ever like stuck with that paint job. But here's the, for people who don't know the pain of vinyl kits. So this character has a bunch of like tentacles with like feathers on them. And they come on this sheet of just vinyl that you have to slice off each one. You can't even see it because it's so gross. Like in black. Like you would cut yourself a zillion times.
Oh, trying to cut this off. I was getting chills thinking about having sliced my thumb a few times.
Oh man. Cause then you'd heat the knife and you'd heat this and you'd be like, all right, I'm going to, and then just phew.
Yep. Yep.
But these are, I'm not even kidding. They're this, they're skinnier than a solder wire that you're supposed to cut out of the vinyl. That's the one, like it's parts like this that I wish they figured out a better way to do with vinyl. But when it came to other things, man, it's vinyl was awesome. Even your pumpkin head, your second pumpkin head that like that was a, it was hard to put together, but the detail in there, you couldn't get that in the other resin kits that were around then. You like, there was more to that than some of the other ones.
Yep. Speaking of companies that I really like, we had business issues with Horizon, but they did some really good stuff.
They did.
They were really good.
They did some really good stuff, and they did some really bad stuff. I mean, they were...
Oh, well, let's put it to George. George, what's their worst and best kit, you think? Or your favorite?
Horizon, yeah.
I thought the Captain America was pretty bad. Let's see.
The Thor comes to mind. The Doctor Doom.
Doctor Doom. That's the one. Doctor Doom and Dark Phoenix were the two for me.
Man. Oh yeah, Dark Phoenix was pretty bad too. I never saw the Doctor Doom. I mean, I never had the kit in my hand.
Oh, so disappointing.
But then you have things like that creature that they did, which is still to this day one of the best creatures.
Yep, I agree. Well, look at the sculpture.
Yeah.
Steve Wang.
Yeah.
You know?
And then
the Frankenstein that Steve Wang, didn't Steve Wang do Frankenstein for them too? I think he did.
I don't know if he did the creature, but I know he did the Frankenstein.
Oh, he did the creature too.
Yeah. Now, I like the first Joker kit. I think you never have to do another comic book Joker kit ever. Yeah.
That is the best Joker kit.
And then they did it in resin, and the resin one was really nice, but they used that shit resin that is like, it was crap.
So, that Venom is still to this day one of my favorite kits of all time, just because the sculpture.
Like, the sculpture's great, but the way they cut it up.
Oh, the cut was terrible. Across the waist was awful.
Yeah, I know. It's
terrible.
I know.
Oh, but, my God. Like trying to hide that seam. So people who don't know. So you have a vinyl kit. And back then, what were your options for putty? Milliput and plumber's putty. Two-part epoxy putty. Because there was no AVs back then. There might have been, but no one knew about it. Right. And so I remember sanding for days with Milliput trying to hide that seam around his waist. And I still didn't get it right. Yeah. I can still see it. It's just like, whatever.
The Frankenstein. Didn't they cut the Frankenstein in the middle of the pants, too? If I remember right,
I've never built that one.
Not like the Billiken where the pants fit into the jacket. I think they cut.
Well, that was the good thing about the Joker is the legs fit up into.
Yes.
Like that.
I love the Joker. The Joker. So that would be my favorite. The Joker is my favorite, and the Doctor Doom and the Dark Phoenix are probably the worst, but the Captain America and Thor are pretty bad too.
Yeah. Right.
So.
Wolfman.
Wolfman was bad. The mummy, for some reason, I don't hate it. The pose is wonky.
Yeah, I know it is.
But I can't hate it. Okay.
Yeah.
But
here's a totally, they're kind of doing the same thing. What do you think of X Plus's line of plastic kits that have come out recently?
They're fantastic. Yeah. What I've seen of them, fantastic.
Even their vinyl. I just pre-ordered another the Centaur, the Harryhausen Centaur, the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
Now I haven't I mean, I'm going just off pictures because I haven't actually had any of those in my hands, but they look fantastic.
Yeah, they're really nice.
I think they do really good work.
The Cyclops, you talk about detail and vinyl. The fur detail in the Cyclops' legs, as opposed to, you know, the one you did and the one Billiken did, which were great kits.
For the time, yeah.
But the fur detail on that one is just, you know, again, how far have we come?
Yeah. How big is that Cyclops kit?
It's about 12 inches. It's like 12 inches. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love seeing that stuff, man. I mean, I think the sculpting and the production just gets better and better as time goes on.
Let's end with this question. If you could change one thing about the garage kit hobby, what would it be?
You can't say me.
Yeah, you can't kick or me.
like,
what do you see as, like, what are you, or let's, maybe I'll rephrase it. Your favorite thing about garage kit hobby and something you think you kind of could do without.
Okay. So let me start with my favorite thing. That is the, when I started Geometric and up till now, we didn't regard our competition as competitors. They were our friends. And we learned a lot from them because we were sharing information. How do you do this? How do you do that? And guys were really willing to help. Okay. And I still think that there are guys really willing to do that. But one of the hindrances was that there are guys who considered us their competition in a negative way, like we were the enemy. And if we had been the enemy, we would have been ratting people out to our licensors, to the studios, okay? When people stepped on our licenses. I never did that one time, except when somebody bootlegged our stuff. That's the only time I ever did it, okay?
And how much help did you get from the licensor at that point?
None.
Yes.
None. Exactly. Yeah. Taught me a very expensive, painful lesson, too. The only time I ever said no when one of our competitors asked us to help them, it was to Horizon when they came to us and they wanted me to share our vinyl formula. We had worked more than a year, I think like maybe 18 months to get the formula just right for all the metal molds we had. And with what Horizon did with us, to us, to keep us from getting any comic book licenses. And then they turned around and tried to get a Star Trek license when we already had the Trek license. We were like, why would they do that? And so when they asked if we'd share our formula, I said no. And I knew they were financially in trouble. I said no. And what they ended up doing, what I offered to do, I said, we'll produce the stuff for you. Send us your mold, we'll produce it. And they did. And we charged them up the ass for it because of what they did. That's the only time we ever did something like that. Okay.
So can I pause it there for a second?
Sure.
I noticed the difference between the two vinyls. I can remember back, Horizons was air bubbly and brittle. If I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember it being harder to work with than what. And now that you're saying all this, that you had a form, it kind of checks out because yours felt more like the Max Factory, kind of like softer when you heat right. It cut a lot easier. Whereas with Horizons, it was very, I can't even explain it. It felt like there was a lot of air bubbles. It felt chalky at times mm-hmm. and had, it would crack. It felt like it could crack when you were cutting
yep.
it. And your right. stuff never did that. Right. So that's cool. That's interesting that I'm, that's news to me. So that's cool.
So you'd basically say it was the camaraderie was the yeah. best thing of the.
I mean, we were tight with the other Garage Kit guys. We were tight with Screamin', with Halcyon, Max Factory, of course, mm-hmm. Billiken USA, you know. Horizon kind of pushed all of us to the side like we were the enemy. And if you talk to the owner of the owners of those other companies, they tell you the same thing.
Where was Horizon actually based out of?
Like they were in LA.
They were in LA. Okay.
But they had their production done in Japan. So, you know, it would be nice if today there was more collaboration mm-hmm. among producers. And, you know, sometimes there is, I am always getting information from Paul Gill and Mark Worthling and Mark Brokaw and, you know, other guys, you know, cool with sharing information. And I'm happy to share information with them. But there are guys out there who want to see you fail. And, you know,
I've seen that on the painter side, too. You know, there's guys that'll instantly tell you what paint they used, how they used it, and what they did, and how to make it. And there's other guys that will never tell you a thing. Right. And they feel like your competition. It's like, no, dude, everyone just wants to have fun painting models. Like, I don't get it.
So back to the question then, would that be your least favorite thing about the hobby?
Us against them mentality that some folks have. Okay. And then, you know, there are some loud mouths out there who are always, you know, doomsayers, you know, the hobby's dying or I'm getting out. Okay. Now I'm back in. And
that's my co-host. You know. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I never get out and I've never been out. I've always been in. I've always been in. Since 1990,
I wasn't talking about you, Jason.
I have been. I'm a loud mouth.
And I reformed, George. Okay, I went to the clinic and I reformed.
But I don't have a problem with loud mouth. Just be positive.
Yeah.
You know, there's too much negativity. People are always complaining.
And this kind of leads into a problem that Scott and I have. So we do this because we love this stupid, dumb hobby that we do. As much as we hate it, sometimes we love it more. And it's, how do I say this? I don't know how to say this without being mean. We get nothing from, well, that's not true. We get barely anything from people promoting things. And we are for free. We don't even charge advertising. We don't like nothing. Like just, hey, send us your stuff. And I thought when we first started doing this, people would jump at the opportunity to just have their stuff out there. And that's been harder than I thought it was going to be to get stuff. So Scott and I have a lot of times just have to go out and search for things. And that's what it gets repetitive because Scott looks in the same places. I look in my same places and I want to get more things that I don't see. So if people like, and I'll people send me things to show,
send us things, pictures. We're not saying send us kits.
You don't have to send us a kit. You don't have to send us a picture.
You know, and get us stuff.
Because we want it. And then as much as people think I'm a doomsayer, I want to see this hobby succeed and survive. And the only way that does is by promoting it. And that's why we do this, is we want people to find this stuff. So I don't know.
Well, I have never sent you guys anything. I'm going to start doing that.
Okay. Great.
I'm talking about stuff to give away.
Well, that too. Okay. Hey, we're you know, that's and the again, thing too.
We've never kept
a single thing someone has sent us. You know what I mean? And trust me, it's hard because we've gotten some things right.
There's been some really cool things that come across this desk that I'm like,
and there's been a few times like Michael Reagan sent us something to give away and he sent me one for me, you know. And now Worthling.
Wait, what? You did what?
That cheap bastard, Worthling. Okay. He sells me my own ideas. Okay. All right. But
what can I send you?
Anything you feel. I would any bus, anything. We don't care.
Anything.
Anything to promote your show or promote the company and anything. You can send, but seriously, you don't have to send us anything. Just pictures once in a while from everybody. Goes a long way.
For years, I have griped about how people don't send stuff to AFM to promote their stuff. And what you're telling me is, gee, what am I thinking? I should be doing that with you guys. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that.
And I didn't mean that as a call you out at all. I didn't. That's not because it's not that. It's just I thought it would be harder because, again, we see this as one big family. We're all our own little mutant family. We're all weird. We all do weird stuff. And
George, I've got guys that I consider good friends in this hobby. Okay. And to get them to send me pictures is like pulling teeth. Okay.
I'm not saying the name.
And
It rhymes.
I'm not saying the name, but there's a lot of, because there's more than one. But yes, it's like pulling teeth. Right. Just send me pictures. And even Worthling, I had to get on his ass. You know when he sent me pictures? Yesterday. Oh, you guys are recording? He sends me pictures yesterday. I go, you're an asshole. Okay. Because now we got to get him loaded in and stuff. But Mark's pretty good about it. You know, he's at least taken what we've said and gone with it. Early on, Paul was great. Not that Paul's not great now. He's just not doing
anything. He was one of our earliest person to like jump on and support what we're doing. And I like,
and we all know, I love Paul him for this forever. Start out on the greatest of terms. Okay. But Paul still from the beginning supported us. Yes, he sent stuff for us to give away. And I got a lot of shit about that. I got a lot of people saying, oh, you guys, what is this, the Paul Gill show? And it's like, no, it's not the Paul Gill show. It's the Paul Gill is supporting us show. Okay. And anybody else that wants to support us by sending us photos of their stuff and or giveaways, all right, is
Paul's
gonna they're gonna get the press. Okay, and they're like, well, are people using you to sell their stuff? Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, that's what we're here for.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'm using them for content. Yeah. Okay? So it's a win-win for everybody. And people don't get it. It's trust me.
It's bizarre.
You so know where do I send it? Where do I send you some stuff?
Either
send we'll it tell you after. We'll tell you after.
He's got a yeah, he'll send you his address because then he's gonna pay the postage when it all goes out. I don't have to do anything.
I'll text it to you, George. I'll tell you what,
if you want to wait till Wonderfest and just hand it to us.
Yeah, that'll work. Okay. We'll do that.
Okay.
You know, whatever you got left over.
Okay. Send
a couple of things. That'd be cool.
For sure.
No, George, you're still proud of me? I'm staying out of trouble. Are you still
Absolutely,
proud of me?
Man. Absolutely. Yeah.
So now I want to thank George. George was instrumental actually in I think
getting I was rough on you that one time.
Me and Paul to kind of get you know,
George and cancer were the two things I think.
Well, that and cancer does have a way to chill you. You know what else too? George is old age. Okay. And as I turned 60 last year, and as I got older and I started to realize if I spent half the time I spent arguing with people on the internet over the years and calling people out, and not that I didn't call out some people that need to be called out. And I still have called out one particular parasite. I won't say his name. But he can't wait for Wonderfest. But again, it's not something that I just sit and dwell on it and go over and over and over again. Okay, it's not worth it. It's not worth the space up here, and it's not worth the time that it takes. Okay, I have 700 and some kits. I should be building and painting them.
Okay. Yeah.
So you know. So. For 17 years, I was both a prosecutor, alternately a prosecutor and a defense attorney. Then for 20 years, I was on the bench. And I mean, I represented some people that did some pretty wicked stuff. I prosecuted some people who did some pretty wicked stuff. And then I presided over a lot of jury trials with people who did some pretty wicked stuff. So most of the stuff that comes flying at me, I'm like, that ain't nothing. Because I've had to look at videos of children being tortured, okay? So some little flare-up in the garage kid hobby, that ain't nothing.
Yep.
Okay? I'm not going to get into a fight with somebody about some silly thing, you know, because it's a little silly thing. Mm-hmm. And so my attitude is pretty laid back about most stuff. All right. Stuff, most stuff just doesn't rile me up. But I do have to say that I get tired of the negativity. And I'm not talking about what you say, Jason, you know, when you talk about the garage kid hobby, you know, dying or being dead. So that's a, I understand exactly what you're saying and I agree with you. Okay.
I'm going to hide behind George from now on when that comes up.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the things that people say and do that are not good for the hobby. And my feeling is, and selfishly, I can say sometimes, if you're not doing something good for the hobby, then you're not doing something that's not good for my business. And we ought to be more collaborative. There are so many people who love this stuff and who are talented and you know, I say, let's help them. I mean, I'd love to see some of these guys that are just getting into the hobby start blowing things up and moving forward. And I want to watch and see what they're doing and go, oh, shit, that's a great idea. Let me look into that. I think it's important that we're looking forward and trying to keep up with technology and stay ahead of the curve or keep up with the curve.
Right.
I think a lot of the guys that are producing this stuff, they don't. And one of the reasons that we see so many guys falling out or being unhappy is they're lazy about doing the things that you need to do to have a successful business, like sending stuff to you guys, sending stuff to AFM to promote their stuff, you know, helping other people. I mean, that stuff is free to do, and they won't do it. And they're wondering why can't I sell these kits?
I can't tell you, not that I want to pat us on the back, but I can't tell you, I think, how many people we've directed to 3D printing. Okay, and that have, they come to us for help.
Me included, you know.
We help them, yeah, you know. It's great. And to piggyback on what you were just saying earlier, you know, you said, yeah, I called, I was pretty rough on you the one time. And you know, I look at it and go, well, you weren't rough on me, you had your opinion and you called me and you gave it and we talked. And what I like about that is when we hung up the phone, I didn't hang up the phone going, man, fucking George Stevenson, fuck him. Okay. All right. I didn't. Okay. Now I might have hung up and said, well, I agree with a lot of what he said, but maybe not everything, but that's okay. I still, George was still a friend to me, and that's all that matters, you know.
Well, I hung up the phone and said, that fucking Scott Johansson. I'm sure he didn't hear a word I said.
You don't listen to what I said.
I know the feeling.
but if I'm not proof that people can change that, then I don't know who it is. Okay, because I was banned for life from the clubhouse. I was the Pete Rose of the clubhouse. The most posts that's been banned, okay. And it sucked because I have a lot of information in here that I can share. Okay. And instead I chose to channel that differently a lot of the times. And I'm not saying always unjustly, but you know, what I discovered is most people don't care. Okay. Hey, this guy is screwing everybody over. Yeah. Most people don't care. They're going to buy what they want to buy. They don't care who's screwing over anybody. Now it does to a point. Yeah, people don't want to see people get screwed over, but for the most part, nobody cares. Nobody cares that I hate Jason Walker. Now, the people that care watch this show, okay? So it's... Hey, him and I fight, George. You should see him and I go at it sometimes, okay?
Well, I got to tell you, I love what you guys are doing. I really do.
Well, thank you.
I think it's fantastic. I just wish that I knew every time you guys go live. So I could.
We're
going to
do more live shows going forward, I think, when we start after Wonderfest. We'll have another one. First episode after Wonderfest will be live, and I think we're going to end up doing more live as we go.
You know, I want to thank both of you guys. Last time I was on, I think it was the last time I was on, we talked about 3D printing, and I was looking at having some stuff printed and thinking about, you know, selling a certain number of 3D printed pieces and then selling the files. And you know, I've kind of listened to what you guys have been doing and seeing what other folks are doing, and while I'm not going to go down that road of selling files, I certainly see the benefit of the 3D printing. It made a significant difference in my business. Significant.
Cool.
So
I'm glad we could help. I'm glad we could help you.
Yeah.
No problem. George, just send cash. It's all right. Just send cash.
We're going to leave it there because
the IRS took it all.
That's true. We're going to leave it there because with joint, I don't want to go off the rails. And that was a great place to kind of end it. I think it was a perfect end to our conversation. So, George, give us all your contact info, where people go to find your stuff, where best place to buy things.
Our website is blackheartmodels.com. And we have a website store. We also have a garage sale page where we have some stuff that is being discontinued or that is deeply discounted. Of course, we're also on Facebook and Instagram and even on Twitter or X.
Okay.
So, cool. Yeah.
have to follow you on Instagram.
And our email?
Sure, go ahead.
Our email is goblackheart@comcast.net.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, George, for joining us. We deeply appreciate it.
It was fun.
It's always a pleasure.
As always, thank you. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
But... let's hang out a little bit at Wonderfest.
Yeah, okay? We're going to see you in like 4 weeks. Oh, my God. I can't believe it's that close.
Yeah, five weeks? 5 weeks.
Oh, man.
Man. All right. Okay, guys. Great to see you. Thanks.
We'll see you
again.
Next time.
All right.
Take care, sir. All right,
have
bye.
Have a good one.
The Honorable George Stevenson, everyone. Thank you, George, for coming on. We deeply appreciate it. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Scott, what'd you think, sir?
Man, how about those alien heads and that industrial printer guy?
Oh. I want to know how big the printer is. I want to see a picture of it.
So,
and I'm sure it's like some proprietary, no one's seeing our stuff, but I'd love to see what it looks like.
And I don't know.
That's pretty cool.
I'm just curious what the process is. Maybe we should ask George. I know what our process is, how we got to wash it and cure it. And
what are they cleaning it in?
These industrial printers, they come out, they're done. They're done. I think that it's not
really.
Yeah, if I remember right, seeing some videos. But,
all right, we'll have to do some research. Look, but
yeah.
Everybody, head on over to Blackheart. Information will be down below in the description. So there's some cool stuff at Wonderfest. Andy's got his classes are sold out, so he's good to go. He's just busy trying to get stuff done. So thank you, George, for coming on. You ready for emails, voicemails, and corrections, Scott?
I'm always ready.
So, we have no emails, sort of. I got a package in the mail. I haven't told you this yet. Got a package in the mail.
I got a Bigfoot.
Did? Hold on.
I got a Bigfoot thing. I tossed it already, but I did get a Bigfoot thing. So they're still out there trolling me.
I can't hear you.
That's because you're an idiot. That's what I go through, folks.
You knocked my... Shut up. You knocked my ear...
Every fucking episode.
What'd you say?
He fucking keeps his earphones on like his mother keeps her clothes on. Okay, they're always falling out. Okay, I'm just saying.
Can I recommend a paint color before we go any further? It got knocked out when I was doing rubber black. It's supposed to be the best black for like painting tires and stuff. Like it's that color black. So let's check it. Anyway, got something in the mail. What'd you get in the mail? That's
what?
You got a Bigfoot in the, you said you got a Bigfoot in the mail.
Oh, I got another Bigfoot thing, and it was a big fat guy wrestling with Bigfoot, and it said Scott Johansson versus Bigfoot. It had the same Bigfoot label from Austin, Texas, so we're back to the mysterious, where are they coming from?
Uh-oh. Okay. So I got this in the mail, and I had initially told this person, no, it's okay, thank you for the offer, but I appreciate just you watching the show.
And I just also want to say that I told Paul Gill this morning that anybody that believes in Bigfoot, it should be illegal.
Are you a fascist? You can't believe in things? Like what?
Can't believe in Bigfoot.
Or that's UFO. It! To the gulag! You believe
to the
in
camp.
Bigfoot.
You go to the Bigfoot camp and we cut your feet off. You believe now?
It's all about your hatred of feet. That's what this is all about. That's what I just figured it out. That's why you hate Bigfoot. It's the feet. It's the feet. Isn't it, Scott? Deep down, you're afraid of a Bigfoot.
You're going to be afraid of a Bigfoot up your ass.
All right. I got this in the mail. A package, a box came. And I was like, I didn't order anything. All right. A note card. Jason, thanks to you and Scott for the great MCTV entertainment. I'm going to throw Brian in there as well, because this is model in a movie is kind of where this idea came from. So,
okay, but hold on.
It wasn't said,
let's just be honest for a minute. Okay. Brian Clark's about as entertaining as a blank piece of paper. Okay. All right.
Oh, man. You and Brian got to work this out at some point. I hate being the parent stuck in between. All right. All the best. I'm not going to put his last name. Jeff, aka Thomas Fairfowl, Glendale, Arizona. Thomas, thank you so very much for what you sent, because now I have to do some work. Scott, you know what that is?
Oh boy.
So we watched this movie over on A Model in a Movie, and we had talked about making a kit from that movie, and someone in the comments suggested doing the prehistoric scenes cave bear and turning it into the cocaine bear. So guess what? I'm going to
modify.
I am going to turn this into the cocaine bear somehow. Which will work fine. Like, it'll be great. But I'm trying to decide what part of the movie, like, do I do the waterfall part or do I just have him coming out of the bushes with cocaine all over his face and blood? So thank you, Thomas. This is slash Jeff. I love it. Because I probably would have never done it on my own. So I'm glad that someone's forcing my hand. And thank you for the gift. I really, really like. If I can, maybe I'll try and do it for Wonderfest, but I don't think I'll have. I'm going to try. So thank you, Tom. This fair foul, Jeff. Oh, that's awesome. All right. We have a voicemail. And I'm going to play it because I don't want anyone to accuse me of censorship. This is a very heavily anti-Jason email voicemail.
I don't think it's anti-Jason.
It is very hurtful.
Not hurtful.
I'll play it. Here we go. It's a minute 20. It also breaks the rules by 20 seconds. And the translation was a lot funnier than the voicemail. Give it that. Here we go.
Hello, Jason. This is the ghost of Sean Connery. Jason, I have a message for you from John Tucky. It's in Morse code. The first symbol is an F. The last symbol is a U. Jason, do you recognize this sound? Moo. That's the sound your mother made last night. What do you mean Scott didn't tell you? He was there.
You were there, okay.
Scott and I took your mother out to dinner last night. She had a real craving for some Nathan's Famous 12-inch all-beef frankfurters. She ordered two helpings. Scott, I've got a message from John Tucky for you, too. It says, see his message to Jason. Then multiply it 4 times.
I don't get the math part.
You mean you don't get the math part?
What am I multiplying 4 times?
The FU, meaning.
Oh.
Okay, basically. The FU comes to me 4 times more than it comes to you.
All right, Mr. Connery. You've made an enemy, sir. Come at me. I got you. One other thing. We got some emails about this, but I didn't want to read them on the show because it doesn't work. But I got multiple people this last episode, and then I got a couple before where this happened, asking if their work was good enough for the gallery or if their subject matter was good enough for the gallery. Everything is good enough for the gallery. This is not with the viewers gallery at the end, listeners gallery at the end, is not a model contest. It is not anything like that. So if you, anything you've built and painted and you watch this show, send it in. If you feel like sending it in a tank, I don't care. Of course, this is like figure modeling. So that's what we tend to have. But if you worked on something and you want to share it, share it. If it's a model kit you built, a print you painted, send it in. So we have some great stuff in the gallery this episode from all sorts of people. And then other stuff, like someone asked subject matter wise, if this was appropriate. Yes. If you worked on it and you watch this show, I don't care. Send it. So please, we are not judging. I want people that are day one painters all the way up to gold winning painters from Wonderfest. Like, I don't care. Whoever, send it in. Okay. So that out of sight. Scott, what's another thing we got?
Dan Garden came up with a great idea and said, hey, guys should do short videos and so guys can push what they got coming to Wonderfest. And we're not going to call George out because he kind of did in his in his presentation tonight. But hey, and Dan Gardner, I'm calling you out because it was your idea. I'm still waiting for your video, pal.
Yeah, I set the deadline as this episode coming up. But if you can get anything to me by the 10th of May, if you have a video of anything you want to share, just give me a quick promo. Send me a video from your phone, stuff you got coming. You could even just talk. You don't have to show anything. Just say the list. Say you're going to be there. What you're going to have. That's fine. Just anything. Could be 10 seconds long. If you can get it to me by the 10th of May, I'll edit something together for that last episode before Wonderfest, which will come out on the 15th, and we'll get something going. But again, I got nothing. I have nothing from anybody. So I'm sure everyone's working hard at editing those videos together for us. I'm sure that's what it is. So that's the episode, everybody. Thanks for joining us, George Stevenson. And again, head on over to Blackheart Models. I'll have the links and everything down below. Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff will be there. On X, I'll go find that. I'm not on X, so I'll have to find that somehow. Thank you, Scott Johansson.
For what? What did I do?
For being here. I appreciate you.
Just send money.
Okay, goodbye. Say goodbye, Scott.
Bye.